Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour on this June the 9th on the West Coast, now June the 10th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. And special thanks to Dr. Len Horowitz for recommending that you stick with us. That's a good idea tonight because we've got a great show lined up for you. Well, what's been going on these days? I've been hearing bankers and people from the Federal Reserve and the Treasury try to cover their tracks as the lies mount up higher than the national debt, and not to mention the amount of money that's being stolen, and that's a recurring topic. We remind you of that. Because it pertains to everything that's going on in the world, and the ultimate desire for a select group, and I say select, they select themselves, of elites. They call themselves elites, and who intend to dominate the whole world, to enslave humanity, reduce the population anywhere from 2/3 to 80%. So you're talking about somewhere between 4.5 or 5 billion people, maybe even more, because they have this figure of 550 million that they and both Billy Meyer agree, along with the Pleiadians that talk to Billy Meyer, that's the proper number. Well, if they would leave first, we could reevaluate the whole thing, I think. And that is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's very true and very, very much how I feel about the situation. Some news. I posted, some of you who may have missed last night's show may have missed the fact that sometime over the weekend I posted the video version. It's a documentary version of the May 29th broadcast with General Jeremiah, the commanding general of the United Galactic Federation, a federation of 574 planets from around our galaxy. Now, I haven't really received any negative comments from folks. You know, we're not asking you to believe anything. He called into the show, felt it was time that disclosure hits the airwaves, and they chose to do it on my show based on the message that I and mostly my guests bring forward. We're about bringing you the truth, and if you use your discernment, you'll begin to see things in light of the truth, and you'll come to your own conclusions. We're not asking anyone to believe anything. And if you do at least what we suggest, then, and I say we because often my guests make these same suggestions. They come up with some great ideas, great solutions to the problems that no one else is willing to give you answers to. So please heed their words. They don't have all the answers, but they're here on the show because they have expertise in certain areas. And we do talk about different topics, but it so happens that while we are talking about these topics, there's a systematic destruction of this country and other countries around the world and the world's economy and the food and the ecosystems and the whole planet going on, and we can't ignore that. So we have to bring that up at every opportunity. And we do it as Spirit leads us to do it. Now, why did I post this as a video? Well, many people would ask the question, well, you know, what proof is there? And I put quite a few photos that had been given to me by the Federation previously. I didn't really have to disclose in detail the first batch of photos that I got, but then I noticed NASA started posting these photos. And NASA didn't take all the photos, I can guarantee you that. However, nonetheless, the photos that I posted with this video are original photos. They are of the planet Balqui. I'm not asking you to believe that, but if you study the photos, you can see how absolutely beautiful they are, how unique they are, and I challenge anyone to show me where these locations in those photos are on planet Earth. You can't do that because they are not of planet Earth. It's a simple matter. I've gotten some requests from people to send direct links to the site. And because of the software that I use for my website and the fact that the title of this video is so long, it's a very long web address. Now, if I underline that or underscore it within an email document, you will not get that link in a working order. It's a fact of life that email programs read that as spam, and they will not do that. So I can send that to someone in an email and not underscore it, and then the person will inform me that the link doesn't work. Well, the link has to be underlined, and if I underline it and put it in the email, it won't make it through the email. This is the point I'm trying to make here. Okay, so try to become a little bit more savvy as to how these URL addresses work within the context of email, and also in the context of whatever browser you're using. Some people are having problems getting the document to play. If you're on dial-up, it's going to take forever. However, I have put a condensed version. It's compressed, and it's much smaller. It's about 29 megabytes. Before, I had a 275 megabyte file, and it was eating up my bandwidth. Okay, I'd like to keep my site up, so I put the lower quality version on my web page in place of the higher quality version. It's still not that bad. It's a little bit smaller picture. You don't see as much detail, but you can see all the photos on my photos page. Now, my website is not very difficult to navigate through, and this would save me tons of time instead of sending out emails with all these requests for direct links. Folks, you have a mouse. You have a clicker, depending on what computer you're using, what style. You either have one clicker or two, and you have a cursor. Place your cursor over the word documentaries. Click on that. It will open up the index. Look for the title, Evident Footprints Meets the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. Click on that, and the page will come up, and you'll be right there. It's so simple. I would love to answer everybody's email. I cannot do that. Sometimes I don't even get your email for weeks. And then when I do, people are upset or angry because I haven't responded. I'm telling you, because of the work I'm doing and the message I'm putting out, people don't want me to get my email. And they don't want you to get email I would send you. This happens to all of us, but I can tell you, when you're confronting the beast and you're in the belly of the beast, the beast will try to digest your email. So just understand, I'm not chiding anyone. Let's use our brains a little bit. Have we become so apathetic and maybe pathetic and lazy that we can't click on a web page? I mean, can you imagine me going to as many sites as I visit while I'm doing my research and making a personal request for a document I'm looking for because I'm too lazy to click on the buttons at the top or the side of the page? Really, now let's take this to heart and help me out and allow me to spend more of my time doing the work I'm doing than teaching you how to move from one page to another on anyone's website. And learn a few skills about email. There are people sending out massive amounts of email that personally I have to say I'm not interested in, especially when people start swearing at each other, using foul language, degrading the character of the other people. I don't want a part of that. I'll challenge what people do. When I'm criticizing the government, I'm criticizing politics or religion or corporations, I'm talking about what they do to people. Now, the people happen to be corrupt. They know who they are. And from time to time, to really explain an example of what we're talking about, we have to refer to names. None of us are perfect. We make mistakes. But there's a difference between making a mistake and intentionally undermining humanity. There's a big difference in that. So, going back to the website navigation thing, everything on my website is pretty much categorized under a topic. If you want to listen to my archives, what's the name of my radio show? Evident Footprints. Click on Evident Footprints and it takes you to my archive index. Now you'll see 50 titles of most recent 50 posted up there. And if you click on the archives or subscribe, you'll get the entire hundreds of archives that are there on the site. It can't be any easier. If you want to know who's going to be on my show tonight, click on radio schedule. Each month I publish a complete schedule for who's going to be on the show. And please don't ask me who TBA is. That stands for to be announced, where I may have had a cancellation or an open date. I mean, it's not rocket science, folks. The film is under documentaries. Again, click on documentary, then click on the title. Now, when I have more documentaries up there, you're going to have a choice. So click on the title of the documentary that you would like to view. It's as simple as that, okay? So, now to facilitate some folks getting archives, I have in the very near future a plan through BBS Radio to market CDs in MP3 format, and they're going to be high quality, very clear, evenly balanced sound, and I may be able to get as many as 100 or more of my shows on one CD in that format. And I'm going to make them available for a very reasonable price, something that covers the cost of the materials and the time it takes to put them on the disc. It will decrease the amount of bandwidth use, because as my show grows, so do the expenses. And there's no one supporting me in this cause. I can tell you that. And so I've taken that challenge upon myself. I put that burden on my shoulders. I'm not asking you to do that, but if you're demanding that I keep up with archives, which is a tremendous task, just to do that all day long, let alone articles and research and movies and all of that, it's an enormous amount of work. Try to understand that. Try not to burden me with the petty questions that have really nothing to do with anything other than maybe a curiosity. Do some research. I have answers for things, and I'm going to present them in my research and on the show. And I can't really spend all my time answering or explaining an article that's 18,000 words long. If you don't get the message in the article, you're not going to get it in any other explanation. The article is the explanation. Read it again. Read it several times, and you'll find that it'll sink in, and after a while, you'll understand what this is all about. Well, okay, enough for public service announcements. Who's our guest tonight? Well, he has a website called educate-yourself.org. It's one of the most popular research sites in the world. I refer to it often as a library or an encyclopedia of information in many areas, politics, new world order, science, invention, ufology, aliens, disease, cures, and appropriate treatment of disease, nutrition. You name it, he's got every topic you would be interested in on his site. And he contributes to his site. He's helped me get some things out with my work and others, many, many others, many authors. He's a great researcher, a great journalist himself. He's webmaster, web host par excellence, and he's my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hello, Don. Thanks so much for having me on again.
Ken, was I too hard on my audience at the top of the hour?
Well, I understand your frustration, and also I do understand the audience point of view, too, that a lot of people are not really that savvy at computers, and so that I can see the difficulty from both ends. I might say that I have a direct link to the site that has your video on it from my current news page. I've placed the announcement of the May 29th show at the top of my latest article's header, and I'll leave it up there probably for perhaps a month or so. So if you just go to current news on my site, scroll down to latest articles, the one at the very top will be the video you're referring to. Click on that page. You can read my introductory comments about it, and then the link is embedded right on that page, so if they simply hit the link that I've already placed into my page, they'll go right to your site, go right to the page that has your video on it. So that's an easier way for someone who's not that savvy with computers to just get there with a one click.
Yeah, well, you know, we're talking about little issues, really. I mean, they're important to folks because they want to see this stuff, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine if I had to answer just every single email, and many times it's a question of how many people it's internet congestion, maybe, you know. Mm-hmm. Often I'm trying to use a link that I know works. It's a very simple link to a particular site that I'm visiting, and sometimes the browser itself is not working properly, or the internet's having problems, or their server on the other end is having problems. And
yes,
and you get error messages, and you know, you put it in there right. Well, you know, these things aren't perfect, but you know, it's not always the fault of the place you're trying to go that these problems originate.
Yes.
I hear a lot of the link doesn't work, the link doesn't work, or your page doesn't work at all. I'm on your site and the page won't load, and I go right there, and it's working, you know. So people need to consider, you know, what they're using for browsers. There was a time when they had a Windows version for the Mac that you could use and use Internet Explorer. And it wasn't very long when people said, you don't want to use that. It creates a lot of problems. You're going to have a lot of issues. And there's still people that want to use that. That's their preference. But with it comes many, many problems, especially when you get into issues of cross-platform documents and that. Some people don't have the drivers installed in their computer to watch video. You know, they go to a website, and because they see a video, they presume they have all the correct software, and whenever they go to a site, they should be able to see the video. But there are drivers for certain types of computers and certain types of software that are being used to show these videos. So you have to have the software that enables you to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I'm not boring you with that.
No, I understand. And like I said, a lot of people aren't that savvy with computers. I mean, the sort of mail you're talking about, I've been getting it for a long time, so I sort of accept it as part of the deal, as part of the territory. And usually, it depends on the person addresses me, and I'm rather of short patience with people who don't address me by name and don't sign their email.
Mm-hmm.
I often simply won't respond to people who do that, because I put a notice if they try to send me email from the box from my website, they have to go to a page where they fill in a box and then they send it to me. They don't see my email address, and the only reason I had to do that is I had to change it. I used to have it as editor, you know, at educate-yourself.org, but I got to the point I was getting 98% spam, and, you know, and I was getting, it was just unbelievable how much garbage I was getting, so I had no choice. I had to go to this system in which you hide your email address, and the person fills in the box and hits the, well, anyway, on that page, I asked people first to read the page before they try to send me mail, so they'll know what my rules are. And I say, you know, don't send me unsigned mail. Address me by name and sign with your name if you expect a reply. And yet I'll still get a fair amount of pay from people who you know, either don't read it or don't care and just ask me some question and just hit the send button. So it depends on even what they ask. If I perceive that it's a person who's really in trouble, and it's something that you know, I forego getting upset about the not signing. But the majority of them are just people who are essentially lazy. They want you to do not only your thinking for them, but they want you to do, you know, simple things that they could do. Go to a search engine to find out some information. You know, sometimes this is not always, but you know, sometimes I simply ask the most basic questions, as if I had nothing else to do with my time, but simply sit at the keyboard and wait for their inquiries to come in. So I've addressed this before. You know, I've railed about it. I've called myself, you know, some people think I'm the answer man. And just whatever we need to know, let's ask Ken, you know, and it can be completely off the wall, but it's, you know, it's just that, well, let's ask Ken. And again, that type person will usually launch into the question. They won't say, hello, Ken, or dear Ken. No, they launch into the question as if I know who they are. And, and then when they finish the question, they won't sign their name. They'll just hit the send button.
Yeah. Now, I haven't done that. I haven't gone to that extent, but I'm considering doing it. You know, I've heard you talk about it enough. Yeah. And it's an issue of people that are using, you know, they have email handles, just like the truck drivers had in the day of, you know, CB radio. Yeah, right. And you know, where they were making, movies, you know.
Yeah,
I can convoy movies. So that's what I wanted to say.
No. Right.
And it was like every week there was a new convoy movie coming out, you know, Burt Reynolds and
and that was a big phrase, like particularly in the '80s, it was big.
Yeah, okay. And now the internet has sort of taken the place of the CB radio in terms of blogs and chat rooms and all these things. And that's good. At least people are connecting. That's the good thing about it. But there are those that are spending their time infiltrating places where positive things are being done, and they're trying to bring it down, trying to bring down the, destroy the work that's being created, destroy the light that's been created, and cast darkness on it.
Yeah.
So, the fact that people don't want to identify themselves with us, is a bit, you know, it's disturbing in the sense that, okay, they know us that well, they trust us that well, why are they afraid to show us who they are? Because, you know, we don't have to accept mail under those conditions. You know,
that's essentially what I say on my contact page. I essentially make that point. It's a letter. It's an electronic form of a letter, but I have used the example in expressing why I get irritated by this. Let's say you received the letter in your mailbox. It just came to resident, your address, okay? Your address, or maybe not even resident, just had your address. You open it up, and the person's, you know, would you help me find out how to do this and do that? And I'm having so much trouble, and can, you know, I really need your help. So, okay, and then they'll leave you an address to send it back to, and they won't sign their name. Well, what if you got 50 of those a day? Would you sit down at the typewriter and patiently, dear, whatever your name is, I understand your problem, and here's my advice on what to do, and you take all your time to give them valuable information, and you sign it sincerely, blah, blah. Would you do that? No. I mean, you can do it once or twice, but so imagine if you get that every day. Now, I don't get 50 a day, but I have gotten a lot in a 24-hour period. It has happened.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I certainly get 50 emails a day. I mean, typically it could be.
Oh, man, I wish that's all I got. You know, when I get them, let's say. But,
right.
Ken, we have one of our hosts is on the line, Kathy Cook. She has a show, Bright Lights Pathfinders, on BBS Radio. And I don't know if she has a question or if she wants to make a comment, but I'd like to take her call briefly here, if we could do that.
Okay.
Kathy.
I want to make a comment. Y'all, come on. It's 30 minutes into the show. I want to hear a topic. I want some juice.
We are talking about a topic. Now, you see, that's a perfect example of what we're saying.
I know, but we already know about emails and stuff. Y'all feel like, I feel like I'm listening on phone conversation. I want y'all stuff. Y'all are so good at telling the stuff. You know,
All right, we're going to move on. We're going to move from this topic, we'll take what you said to heart, Kathy.
Y'all's evident footprints work. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye bye.
All right, Ken. Yeah, I mean, she has a point, but you see, it's worth, for me at least, tonight, it's worth making this little investment in the time to get this point across to folks. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want us to respond, we're happy to respond. Let us know who you are. If you can't show us who you are, then you don't want us to know who you are. Why should we be concerned about what you want to say? Mm-hmm. You know, I think it only follows logically that way.
A lot of people prefer to do it anonymously. I recall the newspaper of the hometown that I was raised in, letters to the editor always had in very bold print on that page, anonymous letters go straight into the waste basket. So they made it very clear that they're not going to accept anonymous stuff. And what the newspaper did, if you sent a letter to the editor, you had to include your phone number, and they called you up and they asked you, you know, are you so-and-so? Did you send this letter? They want to verify that, you know, you're the one who said whatever you said. And I understand that. Anyone, if you allow an anonymous system to go, you know, to go forward, particularly in a newspaper, you can say all kinds of libelous, untrue things, and no one has to take responsibility for that. So it's common sense. I mean, in the case of me, it's based on the same notion. If people send you anonymous mail, they could say anything. It doesn't necessarily, and there's no one to take responsibility for it. So it's just not going to fly with me. You know, I just don't go for it. If you want to remain anonymous, fine, go on a blog. You know, have yourself a ball, but don't expect me to have a conversation with you. So.
Or emails with not just anonymous, but bogus email addresses on them, too.
Yeah, you know? Bogus email addresses don't work either. I mean, one thing we both know, the characteristic or a well-established indicator that you're hearing, or you're reading, I should say, bogus information on the website is that there is either no name or there's a false name and there's no email address. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, CIA, NSA, all the military, all these government agencies that are involved in flooding the internet with disinformation or misinformation or misleading stories or fabrications, that is a characteristic you'll always see there. There'll be no one, it's typically very voluminous, whatever the story is. Another characteristic you'll see is when people are trying, disinformationists are trying to sell you, they typically will overload you with volume. So, you know, you might have a story that could be succinctly covered in two pages, and they'll run it out to 20 or 25, and they'll use tons of what appears to be to the, you know, casual reader, corroborating references and so forth, and they'll say blah. They always do that. I've seen this over and over again. It's just so that the relative lightly naive person reading it is overwhelmed by the volume. It almost looks like a report, you know, a government report, an inch thick, and it must be true because there's all this information being, you know, saying that it's true, and it's typically a total makeup job. And again, there's no one to contact. There's no one to hold accountable for what was put in that article. There's no, that is so characteristic of the the disinformation game.
Well, see, now this even to Kathy, this seemed like something trivial we're talking about, but we're talking about integrity and responsibility, aren't we? I mean, ultimately, you know, we're entitled to be, or we're expected to be, responsible for what we say and what we write, and if we're writing and speaking the truth, we have no problem, even though the boys don't want the truth to come out. That's the last thing they want to happen, is for people to learn the truth. So we're speaking about methods used to obfuscate who one is. Okay, if you're not proud of who you are and you can't tell anyone who you are, then, you know, you've got very low self-esteem, I think, and you're consumed by fear that you have to be anonymous. You should be willing to state who you are. One day, God's going to call your name, and if, I don't know, he's going to call your handle, or your anonymous email name, you know what I mean. I mean, let's start facing things, you know, and take responsibility for yourself.
Yeah,
and we'll do our part. We'll keep doing our part to tell you what we're finding out, what we're learning. We spend all of our time doing that, really, anyway, and we really don't have the means or the time to stop and you know, take somebody by the hand and walk them through step by step some of these basics that you're talking about. Take some classes. You know, if you need to learn your computer, take some classes so you understand what's happening while you're on it, so you don't become a victim of it, and you uphold the integrity of the whole system as well. And then those that are playing the game stick out like a sore thumb. We'll all see it, and we know where not to divest our attention.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'll just conclude with this thought. Another facet of this notion is that the Illuminati tries, and is succeeding very well at it as well, to essentially lower humanity's sense of sensibilities and civility towards each other. That's certainly the reason why they bombard us with so many movies, for instance, or programs on television that are just over the top with violence, with coarse language, coarse conduct, particularly between men and women. They want to bring people down into this kind of coarse world that they prefer to operate in. And one way that people coarsen themselves is when is to become careless in just how they use the English language. I am not pleased when people send me email in which they're using numbers or symbols in place of words. In other words, we've all got email from these people. I am not pleased by it because it tells me that they have succumbed to this coarsening process. And of course, they don't know it. I don't necessarily condemn them for it, I should say, but I can certainly, I have, you know, the right to say, like, you know, a father to a child or a son that doesn't know any better, well, you don't do that. This is what's wrong with that. So using the letter U in place of the word Y-O-U is a a coarsening of your use of the English language, and you cheapen yourself by doing it. And it's a visual affront to me, because I gain the greatest, sympathy with the writer when he's using, you know, proper English. If a person makes an occasional misspelling, that's okay. I occasionally make a misspelling. I don't go crazy about that. But to intentionally use the numeral four in place of the word F-O-R is irritating to me. And some people, entire sentences are just riddled with these abbreviated symbols that they're using the sound in place of the written word.
Oh,
you have lowered yourself. People who do that don't understand. There's a price you pay when you give way to the simplest, the fastest way to accomplish something. You pay a price for that.
Ken, I want to remind you about a legal document you recently sent me, where the person was demanding that you cease and desist. Not cease.
Right. I have to figure out what I have to see.
Now, was that an attorney? You know, it's a person trying to pawn themselves off as an attorney, you see, and trying to pull a scam on the whole world, basically, by what they were writing, what they were saying, attacking you, attacking your publications, and a term you're using as if they have a particular license to the English language. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know. And they're stealing the research of one of the world's greatest historical scientists and researchers, Wilhelm Reich, in the process. Let's shift gears. If I could, I'd like to bring up a topic because, we're hearing the big question is, where's the birth certificate? There are billboards now. People can see pictures of these on the web, billboards that have been leased at a cost of $25,000 for a month period. Where is the birth certificate? Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're referring to Barack Obama. And I'm putting together part 7 of the Three Stooges Go to Washington. High energy. This is high-energy reading. It's fast reading. It's sort of a recapitulation of and a condensation of the whole story about who this guy is. And I bring out some new information. So I have to preface it with a sort of a synopsis, because there are those that haven't read parts 3 through 6, which point by point basically debunks the whole autobiography thing. And I was going through some of the aliases that I came up with, and I thought this would be interesting because this falls in line with what we talked about the first segment of the show here. And yet this is a guy sitting as president of the United States. And this was a search on the name Obama, okay? The first name that comes up is Daryl DeFay. Now, that's nothing near Obama, but underneath that name, Daryl D. DeFay, Daryl P. DeFay, Daryl Provost DeFay, Provost D. Obama, Provost Daryl Obama, Daryl R. Obama DeFay, D. R. Obama Prevost, D. R. Obama Prevost, Daryl Prevost DeFay, Daryl Prevost, Daryl R. Prevost, Daryl Renard Prevost, Daryl Prevost DeFay, Dash DeFay, I should say, and Daryl R. Prevost DeFay. Now, some of those sound like repetitions. They're all written out differently. That's under one name. I put the name Obama in there. And DeFay comes up as the first name. Then you have Gaspar N. Obama, Reiki Obama, Miguel Obama, Marcus Obama, Jane Obama, Barack Obama. Oh, in Irvine, California. Barack Obama in Manalapan, Florida. Josh Obama. We've got a little Irish in there now. or is it maybe short for Joshua, okay? All right, maybe you have a Jewish Obama, Hyde Park, Massachusetts. Then we have Barack Obama, Alpharetta, Georgia, Do you recall him ever living in Georgia? Barack Obama, Jackson, New Jersey. Barack Obama, Boca Raton, Florida. Barack Obama, Franklin, Wisconsin. Wanna be Obama. Again, let me read that. Wanna, first name, as in W-A-N-N-A. Middle initial B, Obama. Houston, Texas.
Right. Wow.
Hillary Obama.
Yes.
On and on. Thousands of these. I've got page after page after page. Then, you know, some of my research when I discovered the money laundering. Hello, where's the birth certificate, Mr. Money Launderer? Obama E. David, David Ajoa, David O. Ajoa, David O. Ajoa, David Obama, David E. Obama. David is supposed to be his African brother, right, who died in 1987.
Yes.
This guy is listed as age 55 in Olney, Maryland, Annandale, Virginia, Tacoma Park, Maryland, Alexandria, Virginia, Hyattsville, Maryland, and Washington, D.C.,
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we have Obama Faustin Eduna, and there's another 20 names under that. Susie Obama, Yuko, well, we got a Japanese Obama there, okay? Rolando L. Obama, okay, Hispaniola. Vincent Obama, Eric Obama, German Obama, Miguel Obama, again, this one in San Diego. Osama M. Dahal. Okay, now, there have been times when I've slipped when I meant to say Barack Obama, and I said Osama bin Laden. And here we've got Osama M. Folks, do you see what's going on with the Internet? Okay, this is a corrupt database. This is money laundering, drug dealing, real estate scams, the whole nine yards, everything in here. These are operatives, Mossad agents. And this guy is replete with this. Wilson Obama. We got a Barack Obama in Provo, Utah. By the way, Wilson lives in the Bronx. George W. Obama, St. Louis, Missouri. George W. Isn't that where the Bushes are from and the Walkers?
Yes.
I mean, this is hilarious. George M. Obama, Michelle Obama, Philadelphia. Okay, and then shows Michelle and Barack in Philadelphia. Now, when did they spend this time in Philadelphia? When did they spend that time? But that's something uncovered in my research as well.
Mm-hmm.
Leopold O. Ahanda. Ahanda O. Leopold. Leopold Obama. Leopold A. Obama. Silver Spring, Maryland. Well, but this guy is 59. Okay? Silver Spring, Maryland, Arlington, Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia, Washington, D.C. Ellie Obama, Vincent Obama, Mikhail Obama in Portland. Greetings to Mikhail tonight in Portland, Oregon. Give him a shout out.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Barack Obama in Lansing, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What does this mean, folks? This is on U.S. Search. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is U.S. Search. This is a people search database. And your president is showing up under all these aliases.
Mm-hmm.
You should be absolutely outraged by this. And anybody can go there. Go to ussearch.com and just put the name Obama in. You can pull this list up. And there are page after page after page of these. That's just the first 50 I read off.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing this research now. I hate to be so long-winded on it, but what impression do you get from this? Does this sound like something that you learn in Sunday school?
Well, I would, you know, you're, you know, we've known for a long time. It started to become very suspicious when he first announced that he was going to run in the primaries, and there's been so much evidence, particularly that you have gleaned about him, that we know he was a chosen individual. He's a Rockefeller chosen person to become president. Now, many people have said it, we've said it on many times, but let's just review. If the system was legit, imagine ever in the earlier decades of the entire history of the United States that a young man who starts out as a local community organizer, seems to too easily win a position as a state senator. It's like the tracks were greased for him, and unfortunate and unexpected things happened to knock out his competitors who were much longer, you know, in the office much longer. But unusual things happened, and Barack Obama was a state senator, and then almost as lightning quick, he becomes a U.S. senator. And then, having become a U.S. senator in, was it 2006? Do I have the correct date?
I think it was 2004.
Was that it? I don't know why I'm thinking 2006. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
he voted for the it was the Patriot Act that he voted for the second of 2006. Yes, he was voted in 2004, a junior senator from Illinois. And now, the Rockefeller machine, Brzezinski's, who's Rockefeller's, you know, point man here for the United States operations, get all this funding, you know, incredible amount of money behind him, and he's catapulted to the president of the United States. This just doesn't happen in a legit system. This guy was chosen to, and he was fit into a square, you know, a round dowel into a square hole. Whether the people wanted him or not, you know, you're going to get him. And they just greased the tracks for this guy all the way. So even the least politically savvy American citizen should just use your common sense. A man of Barack Obama's limited abilities, when he's in front of a teleprompter, he's doing fine. He's reading a script. He's practiced. He's rehearsed. He reads it as if he's doing it ad lib. He's not. He's
well, you know what gets people, Ken? Pardon me for interrupting, because they think, you know, that as he's looking to the left, as he's looking in the center, as he's looking to the right, and if you watch where they look when they're speaking, they do that. It's called making eye contact, but in reality, they're not looking at the people. They're looking at a glass teleprompter.
Correct.
This is not even a TV like they used to use.
Correct.
This is just a flat piece of glass that reflects an image on it.
That's exactly right. And for people who don't know, let's say they have cameras at the back of the auditorium, you know, zooming over the audience's head towards the president. They will not see these glass teleprompters. The camera sees right through them.
Mm-hmm.
But where Obama is standing on the dais, angle the glass is at, he can see words written on the glass.
And occasionally a camera picks that up, too. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Once in a blue moon, right. But for the most part, it was made that way so the audience couldn't see he's reading from a teleprompter.
Mm-hmm.
And, So, before Barack, was even the Democratic nominee, I said it over and over again. In my little comments, as he was running through the primary, this is all a game. He's the chosen one. I use that word over and over again. There was no question in my mind he was going to be the man. I just, for a time, you know, looked like Hillary. No. The American people have had it up to here with Hillary Clinton, so common sense told me she wasn't going to get it anyway. And their polls are such fudge operations. I just heard one on the news today, and they some
pardon
clown
me
on,
for laughing. It just hit me funny.
Yeah, some clown on NPR was NPR National Propaganda Radio. It's pure disinformation, and I listen to it, you know, usually every day because I just want to hear what they have to say. But they're always selling whatever the main propaganda storyline is. That's what you're hearing over NPR. Anyway, this clown was convincing the lady that he's talking to that he says, well, the so-and-so poll, and the vast majority of the, you know, American people believe this or believe it. It's totally bogus. Oh, I think this is what it had to do with these they didn't want these Guantanamo detainees be transferred to U.S. jail. The, you know, the overwhelming majority of people in the United States do not want these detainees to be sent to the United States. Give me a break. Anyone who's got even a smidgen of memory realizes, or understanding, or humanity, I should say, realizes that all these people that were rounded up in Afghanistan and Pakistan and all those, I mean, they went into countries we weren't even at war with, India.
Yeah, they were flying them to Russia and Poland and,
exactly.
and torturing them there.
You know, these people are, you know, for the most part, were just at the wrong place at the wrong time. They had nothing to do with 9/11 because the government pulled off 9/11. Mossad pulled off 9/11. The entire war on terror is contrived, is bogus, and they're just... So all these people, the vast, I read a book, a guy named, trying to remember, Begum, he finally got out of Guantanamo after, I don't know, 3-4 years of pure hell there, and he wrote a book when he got out. I sent away to Amazon, I read the book, this poor guy, the majority of them are in that boat. They're just, you know, nobody schmucks who just got rounded up, and the government and, you know, traitors like Cheney and Rumsfeld calling them the worst of the worst, and Bush, you know, the worst of the worst. And oh, my God. So now this man on NPR was saying the vast majority of the American, the poll said, I don't believe that for a second.
And they're saying there's a certain percentage of these guys that they've released from Guantanamo that have gone back to their terror cells.
Yeah, right, sure.
Yeah, they leave a prison cell and go back to a terror cell. And,
yeah,
you know,
right.
It's more propaganda for us. Oh,
right,
so they didn't know that was going to happen? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first of all, it's made up anyway. It's just It's just a story. It's just something to occupy people to create this boogeyman thing again. Okay,
right.
Obama had to release these guys because it's the right thing to do. You know, they were interviewing a taxi driver the other day at a stoplight. This is a mobile TV crew.
Yes,
and they asked the guy his feelings. Now, the guy barely spoke a word of English. Okay, mm-hmm. He's from another country. He's probably here illegally, or probably a spy driving a taxi. And they're asking him his thoughts on the fact that they're releasing these prisoners, and they're inviting them to come to the United States. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Oh, if they become productive citizen, that's good for the country."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the kind of propaganda that they put out to say, "Well, you know, I mean, who is this taxi driver?
Exactly.
Who is this guy, first of all, and then what gives him?" The credibility to answer that question on behalf of the rest of the people. You see, they go to such absurd extremes to brainwash people. And people say, oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's brainwashing, right. And the sound clips we see on TV news, the ones we hear on radio, like NPR, are chosen to meet this propaganda goal. You know, the storyline is handed down by Tavistock Institute in London, and all news services, mainstream news services, toe the line. They you know, if you do channel surfing during the news hour and just go from channel 2 to 4 to 7 and 9, 11, if they're all having, you know, their news shows on, the coordination of the story is so tight that they're often explaining the same story at the same moment. It's bad enough that they're all covering this exact same issues and covering it the same way, but very often the timing is such they'll say it at the same moment in the news broadcast. I mean,
it's a total script from one end of the show
exactly,
to the other.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, now today is the 9th, 10th. We have 2 days left to get broadcast TV with, you know, analog broadcast TV, and those who haven't rushed out to get their conversion box or haven't bought their high-definition TV and et cetera, haven't gotten their high-definition antenna reception system, well, their TV is going to, you know, have snow. I'm going to be one of those people. I'm not going to miss it.
You're not going to have global warming if you have snow. So.
Well, exactly. I'm going to have
There's
so much
benefit.
Snow on my screen that it's going to be. So anyway, I have 2 days left to watch the propaganda charade on television. So it's okay. I hope anyone else who is listening to this program or listening to this tape joins me in not going for the high-definition TV, because we have a very important expose story that A. Truat came out with in December of last year, just last winter, called The Sounds of Silence, in which he explains they have developed, the government, the military, has developed a type of technology that uses this high-definition system, this so-called digital system, to embed and hide subliminal, not only messages, but mind control programming techniques. More than that, now that they're going to go to digital, anything at all can be inserted into a digital video picture so that they can pretend they're showing you something live and it's not necessarily there. They can insert individuals. You can do any sort of assembly you want to deceive people using digital technology. And the other thing that occurred to me, that we've had these instances for the last couple of years in which we've seen YouTube captures of videos in which certain individuals, particularly Fox News reporters, would have this breakdown of their normal appearance while on camera, and their mm-hmm. face would distort and so forth. And I believe once we, have all digital technology, we won't see those instances anymore, because I think they'll be able to effectively filter it out when it occurs and substitute a repairs. So we won't see those distortions anymore. So I think it's important to archive into your own hard drive those examples. There's many of them on YouTube of these people having these shape-shifting moments there, because I don't believe we will see them in the future when we go to high definition. So
I'm inclined to agree with you to a point. I think we may discover that freeze framing and slow motion frame by frame playback is quite possibly still going to reveal that.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to depend upon the source of the information. For instance, TiVo is recording that digitally, which is how that's being picked up. So. You know, they've got a ways to go. What would serve them best is to stop shape-shifting.
Well, that's a problem. It's happening a lot, and I can only guess why. It's pure speculation. But we have the first person who pointed to this was Arizona Wilder in her videotaped interview, which she made with David Icke in 1999. It's almost 3 hours long. It's called Revelations of a Mother Goddess. It's a very important video interview, and I've listened to it closely on more than one occasion to absorb everything. She presented a lot of incredibly revealing things when she had that conversation. And she mentioned that these human-alien hybrids we've been talking about, we call them shapeshifters. And she says they're having more and more difficulty. This was in 1999. More and more difficulty holding the human form. She says mm-hmm. they have to drink human blood more often to get this substance they call adrenochrome, which is secreted by a person's adrenal glands when they're in an extreme state of horror and fright and fear. So very often the people that, you know, they kill in order to drink their blood and eat their organs, they really frighten them to an unbelievable degree in order to get them to produce this adrenal chrome and to secrete it, I should say, into their bloodstream. And then they drink the blood. These shapeshifters sort of get a cocaine-like high when they drink that blood. So it serves a couple purposes. It apparently makes them high, but it also allows them to hold this human form, and that if they're lacking in this blood, they tend to start shapeshifting. And of course, when it happens on TV, you see this super weird distortions in which their face goes into, you know, into the twilight zone. It's amazing.
the outer limits.
The outer limits. It's amazing how distorted their face becomes. And then the
dialogue amongst them.
The chit chat between the
producer.
Is on set.
Yeah.
Right. They're
or
tipping
the floor director.
That it's happening. You know, they're, as you said, they're using words like, "Well, I see a big change now in your thoughts on that." And well, you're
don't
really
change.
Changing.
Don't change
don't
what you're
change.
Doing. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You were the one who pointed that out to me. So they're. The people behind the camera, the producers, are trying to tip off the what's the name of that morning show on Fox?
Steve Edwards is the anchor. Steve Edwards
and the gal.
Jillian Barbary and she was the weather girl for CBS football. You know, back when Terry Bradshaw was on the panel there. And he was always going gaga over her when she was standing in front of the green screen doing the weather report. And then Dorothy Lucy is another one. And there are a few others who I'm not familiar with other than having seen them shapeshift at the Strawberry Festival.
They have all shapeshift on camera, and those clips are on YouTube. And it's amazing to see. And I caught one. I caught a clip of Oprah Winfrey. This is going back 2 or 3 months. I've saved it. I have it in my, I saved it to my hard drive. The person who put up the clip were more concerned about Oprah's comments about the Bible and sort of the central themes of fundamentalist Christian belief system. And that's what, but Oprah had a shape-shifting moment there. And I says, holy mackerel. Naturally the person putting it up didn't realize what was going on there. But so a large number of people who are in the public spotlight, who we all know the names of, are part of this human-alien hybrid group. And they, I said a moment ago, they need a larger amount of blood to drink blood. Human blood, in order to hold this form. And I said it in an earlier interview, but I'll repeat it here. Al Gore, while he was vice president with Clinton, had a lot of newspaper articles and tabloid-type articles about him being a vampire. That's the word they use. Now, why did this come up? Because he was discovered carrying with him on a plane trip once containers of blood in his satchel. And whoever discovered it, I don't know how it was discovered, but they're wondering, what's Gore carrying around containers of blood for?
Story surfaced about Obama recently during his London
thank
trip.
Thank you. I'm leading up to that, so please pick
shut
up
the and listen. Okay.
You complete my thought about the recent trip in April there when he went to London. You complete the story for me.
Well, there's a certain individual that does economic reports and is sort of a financial consultant to people across the country and has been very good at this. and he got a call from someone that reported Obama taking huge amounts of blood with him to his European trip, where this was in April, where he went to London. I think it was on April 1st, right?
Yes, correct.
And I remember that date because that was the date my father died. So, you know, it's, I can sort of peg that to that time period, and I was aware of what was going on. And you had received shortly thereafter that photo of Michelle and him getting off the plane. So I start connecting the dots when I heard this story. But the description included massive amounts of blood, AB blood, it was referred to.
Yeah.
And that fits something that I've been sort of intuiting about reptilian bloodlines, is that they're AB blood. And likely Rh negative AB blood. So it's a very rare kind of blood.
Okay.
And why the bloodlines are so important. Now, those pictures, or that one picture that you did a whole story on, and with all these crops of the shape-shifting that occurred when they got off the plane, is now substantiated a bit further on the other side of what these people do, in terms of the blood and 34 doctors and an entourage of 500 security people. They were anticipating something happening. I can understand being protected, okay? But, you know, first of all, we're talking about a usurper. We're talking about a crack smoker, homosexual. There's a one child that I've tracked that's dead. Ritualistically, satanically dead, right. And who's got property named after them,
right.
And a foundation named after them. Yet, you know, this has been reported by me. It's in my Three Stooges article twice. It's within that article.
Yes,
parts. What is it? Four and five. I've inserted addresses and everything. This information is retrievable. I read off a list earlier showing how this is done. Why is a different question? And you hit on that when you hit on the Rockefellers. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing is something much, much deeper than anyone can imagine. Mm-hmm. It goes far, far beyond anyone's imagination. And I'm sure there's listeners out there that think we either fell off the turnip truck or the banana truck. Based on what we're talking about here, but I can assure you, when I bring a man like Greg Evenson on the show, who has been a Kansas State Trooper, has worked with the Secret Service, he's impeccable as a forensic researcher and criminologist, holds a doctorate degree in criminology, teaches it. And he is standing by this research, and he's familiar with this. He doesn't poo-poo this research. He's seen flying saucers and all of this, as many, many people around the planet have. And there are those that want to discredit us, and people buy into that so easily, you see. Mm-hmm. They're so concerned because it's an ego-based belief system what others might think about you can harm you, and therefore you have to protect yourself against that.
Yeah, that's true. What you just said there, it is an ego-based response.
Mm-hmm. Ken, we've got to wrap up the show, but I want to give you a chance to, you know, make a closing remark tonight. We didn't have anything planned tonight, and I sort of steered us in this direction, but.
No, it's okay. It's just a, you know, conversation. Probably next time I do want to, I'm still interested in covering,
Dr.
Home,
Clark.
The home, care ideas, most of it based on Huldah Clark's research, because if people can realize that you can take care of your health at home. It takes a huge burden because there's multiple ways they're trying to make people panicky. And one is, you know, first, of course, they simply created this so-called economic downturn, totally contrived. They're, you know, just giving away the entire store to, you know, the bankers and the very people who are manipulating us into the New World Order just gave away the entire nation's wealth to them in these, you know, these insane bailouts. And so people get panicky. They lose a job and, you know, oh, I don't have insurance. I don't have a job. What am I going to do? And it just ratchets it up, the anxiety, through the roof. And so one of the big ones is health care. Oh, I won't be able to get my drugs, you know, prescription drugs. What am I going to do? I can't pay for that. No. You don't need the prescription drugs. You don't need the allopathic physician. You can take care of the vast bulk of disease, including the serious ones, AIDS, cancers, yourself. If you learn what to do, you can do a far better job of it at home with relatively easy to acquire natural substances. You don't have to, you know, spend a lot of money. You don't need drugs at all for anything. You don't need drugs for anything, at least of all to combat serious disease, because drugs don't solve the problem. They just drive it deeper in the body. So I wanted to discuss, you know, a handful of very easy to understand techniques that once people realize that you can address infective conditions, you can address the development of chronic disease conditions with knowledge. If you know what to do, you can extricate yourself if you're already in trouble, and you can prevent degenerative disease. You just got to know what's causing it. So we'll probably devote the next show to that.
Okay, and you're going to be back with us on the Thursday, the 18th.
Right.
So I look forward to that.
Yeah, right, right.
And your website is extricate-yourself. No, I'm just kidding. educate-yourself.org.
Right.
And I can encourage people to go there. You can read about many of these topics that Ken's talking about right now, and sort of give yourself a quiz before next week's show. Right? So I want to thank you for being on the show tonight, Ken, and
thank you.
I look forward to you're going to post that video up on YouTube, I understand, right?
Yes.
I produced.
Figure out how to do that, but we're going to put it up probably in five parts, because they limit you to about a 10-minute segment per part.
Okay, well, we look forward to that and your visit next week. And any updates that you give us during the week, we'll bring forward on the show. My guest tomorrow night is Mr. Carl Pearson, civil rights and antitrust attorney from New York. He was a former political candidate running for the office of Attorney General, and he's going to be talking about solutions to empower oneself financially and in terms of all this chaos that's going on. Carl is doing his best to guide us along a path of creating something new. He's got wonderful ideas. If you haven't heard him in the past, you want to tune in for tomorrow's show. Excellent guest, and looking forward to that show. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, Kathy for her comments tonight, and most of all, you in the listening audience for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.